Thanks a lot for coming. It's wonderful to reconnect. It's really wonderful to be back here and to see everybody learning and deeply enmeshed in learning is wonderful. It's in my childhood memories, but I won't. I won't get nostalgic now. At any rate, I chose a topic which would have been very good for 10:30 p.m., 11 o'clock in the morning or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I guess. I don't know, it's maybe a bit less yun, but it's important. So, there's basically some reflections on the Haggadah itself. We study so much Pesachim and the like, but normally we study Pesachim, we study B'dikas Chametz and Bitul and Bariram and Balimatzai and the like. And Yeshivot at the end of the day end up spending much less time than elementary schools or nursery schools about just preparing people for the Haggadah. So now it's true that it's more important to do so in nursery school. Vigatel Bincha is the most important kiyum, is 4 years old or 5 years old, etc. But 18, 20, 24 year olds also can benefit from studying some Haggadah. Tov, let's start from maybe the first point. Which is the very fact of Sipur, Yitzhak Mitzrayim, in general. What are we out to achieve? We talk about Sipur, Yitzhak Mitzrayim. I would point out, just to begin with, that the opening passage of the Haggadah, once you pass Manishtana, they actually engage a lot of self-reflection upon the mitzvah. It's not unique to the Haggadah. You have the same idea in Pesukah Zimra. Pesukah Zimra begins with a lot of Pesukah Zimra, in a sense, is one extended self-reflection upon the idea of Shevach and Hodah, and before you get the degree set up of Birkut Kriyat Shema. And all the discussion there about Halleluhu and how the Hallel, and why can it be Mehallel, and with what mediums Shema be Mehallel, is to a large degree, there's no small amount of self-reflection in Pesukah Zimra. I'll just give you a quick a quick example of this. The Gemara Sechet Shabbat says that Pesukah Zimra is Hallel Shebechol Yom. Rashi says, which prakim? Kuf Memchet, Kuf Nun. Halu at Shem Yashamayim, Halu Kel B'Kodesh. And that's why many poskim pass, when first comes late to Shul, he should prioritize Kuf Nun and then Kuf Memchet over others. If you take two steps backwards from Rashi and all the poskim later on, you ask yourself, why? Is it strange? If you read Pesukah Zimra from Ashrei onwards, if I had to choose, I would choose Kufam Vav and Kufam Zayin, or maybe the second half of Ashrei and onwards. They deal much, if you assume Pesukah Zimra talks about nature and how God runs nature and he provides us in nature, Kufam Vav, Kufam Zayin, and all that is much more central, seems to me, than we have in Kufnun. Kufnun is simply a list of musical instruments with which to do Hallel. So what apparently did Rashi think? The purpose of Pesukah Zimra is not to be the content of the Hallel. It's to be, rather, it's to discuss the act of doing Hallel. But Pesukah Zimra discusses the actual act of the Hallel, and then the actual Hallel will be in Birkat Kriyat Shema, etc. And so, a very somewhat similar thing happens in the Haggadah. The Haggadah begins by talking about a lot of Arabanim, and Mitzvah, Kol Tuah Laila, and Kol Kiven Shivim Shana V'Lozuchlish Tereit Mitzvahim Ba'Leilot. All of this really is self-reflection. It was you talk a lot about the actual Haggadah, about what it mean, what does it mean to recite the Haggadah, who has to do it. It's really a setup. It's not the real thing. It's the pregame, in a sense. Of course, what happens is the dynamic of human, we spend much more time at the beginning, and we exhaust all the energy and all the kids' patience at the beginning. And if you say 2-3 hours for Magi, the disproportionate amount of that time will go to the opening passages, and there are many, many more vortim and Arabanim than on the matzah, Pesach Matzah Mora, for instance. Now, part of it is because it's more enigmatic. It's more enigmatic because it's only part of the Haggadah, but essentially what we do is, this is really the pregame show. And the real, certainly according to, I think it's Rav who says, Mitzvah with the Zara, but in general, we talk Yochum Rosh Chodesh, all this is not the real Haggadah, it's just described what's going on. Okay, so following the Haggadah, I will also do some of the same thing, but we'll get back to some content later on. And number one is, what's the basic essence of Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim? And I'll mention here the question that it's a basic question to begin with, and certainly was emphasized a lot by the Rav in his piece in the Shemus HaBavari, which is this between Sipur and Zechira. What we're doing, we have a mitzvah every day. There's a mitzvah to Mantis, a person say Zechira Yitzat Mitzrayim on a daily basis, twice a day actually. Now, whether it's integrated Kriyat Shema, it's a separate mitzvah. Okay, when you study Masechet Brachot, you see it's the different opinions. To use a broad brush, it's probably Machlokes in the Rambam and the Shagas Aryeh to a large degree. But certainly, you have both of these. In other words, you certainly have a mitzvah to say every day Zechira Yitzat Mitzrayim. So, what's unique about Pesach? Why is Pesach different or unique? Above and beyond the daily mention. Now, the Rav quotes in Reb Chaim's name. He gives four. He basically says that Sipur is one concept, Zechira is another concept, and then he gives four nafkaminot. I remember all of them, but the all of them. One is this is in detail, and this is no. He just make he gives just a caption. This quote says Mitzrayim. Here you have great detail. Here you have the questions with the children. Here you don't, and a few two other. I don't have the exact details at the moment, but two other nafkaminot, which are all along similar lines. However, he doesn't really explain the like. Why is this so? In other words, what's the underlying conceptual difference between the two mitzvot? Let's say from the passage from the Netziv. The Netziv, in a few points in his Parashat Haggadah, he mentions in passing the difference between the whole year and Pesach. However, he says afterwards in the following passage, this is on the Matzazu. Umnam betam shanui biikar or shinui biikar mitzvah Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim who shuila dat. Dikar tachlit Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim below Pesach, u zechirat Yitzat Mitzrayim bechol yom hu inyan echad. It's basically it's the same idea, basically, and then it's mentioning Sipur Yitzat Mitzrayim Pesach night and the whole year round is really the same kiyum hu inyan echad. V'arei ze kvo shadam esped ivino maase shetachlitam mevialidei musar. V'arei lo yevale bechol yom zman gadol lesaper bechol yom. If you want to tell someone about Sipur Tzadikim or various other ma'asim to, so you won't tell him every day the whole story in great detail. You just mention in passing because he's probably heard this thing 1,000 times anyways. So you mention in passing, and once a year you go and delve into all the details and let him get bored a bit. אשר יראה עליו מת כוונתו. אכן, בזמן, שנה שלמה, חוזר מספר המעשה, מה אני חדש בלבבו התפעלות הכותב. נניח, you want to engage, no, just to give an example, you go and watch King Lear, נניח. You watch the first time, you delve into it in great depth, then you mention every so often, every time I talk about old age or parent-child relationships or but what you see is not what you get, etc., you mention it. But once a year, you watch the play again to re-experience in a way that you shouldn't forget the message. Kach, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'saper b'lo Pesach l'agi ala kotev ha'inyan she'elav matat ha'ratzon ha'nech day lan l'skor b'chol yom mitzat Mitzrayim ma'u ha'matara. Okay, achein, ma'u ha'matara k'var be'al n'shmat el dat she'HaKadosh Baruch Hu mashgiach ha'ma'asir v'kol tzorcheinu. It's like this. The mitzvah is one and all the same the whole year round, Pesach night included. Pesach night simply is to recharge your batteries and then you use it in passing the whole year round. And what is the basic idea? The basic idea is Hashgacha, Yediyam, etc. This point of what's the basic idea he's basically taking from the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo. And this is Moses' theory. I'd like to offer a different suggestion, or to disagree if you want. So I think they're two different things totally. I'll give an example to illustrate the point. Lahavdil, but there's a lot in common to these two things. Person living in Tavshin Ayin Dalet, or in Tavshin Pei Dalet, or in Tavshin Samach Dalet, cannot experience Jewish history, or to a large degree, his personal life filtering it through the Shoah. In other words, we don't live in a vacuum. Anything that we do and we say is has an added layer, element of meaning, positive, negative, whatever, because of the fact that we are post 1945. Example: you go to bar mitzvah. I went to my sister's bar mitzvah whenever it was, a few years ago. There's no way you can say the fact that her mother-in-law, when they take the photographs at the end of the bar mitzvah, her mother-in-law, who has the 30-something grandchildren, has a number on her arm. And it's not only another bar mitzvah. In other words, it's a sense, it's a certain meaning to, it means Jewish life being regenerated. It means the victory of Ruach Yisrael Saba over Nazis in Yimach Shemam. You cannot talk about, you can't view the Israeli-Palestinian conflict without also this added dimension, and so on and so forth. In other words, anything that happens to us, Basman Azeh, is filtered in some form or another through this filter. In other words, on all of our spectacles, we have this additional filter, which is called the Shoah. There are other such events, sometimes they're personal. Person, for instance, person was gravely ill and recovered. Person had cancer, and then, Baruch Hashem, he was healed. The chemo worked. Baruch Hashem, the person is healthy. And the rest of his life, he views everything also through the prism of that. In other words, certain life-changing events in the life of the individual or the community, everything is then filtered through this. Now, that is not the same, though, as Yom HaShoah. Yom HaShoah, we don't simply use this filter. Yom HaShoah, we try to re-experience, to really understand, to have empathy with the survivors, or the victims, or both, survivors and victims, of course. But on Yom HaShoah, we're actually trying to use notes. This is not viewing regular notes. What I said before, this daily filter, so to speak, is it's really in the present. In 2014, I view Jewish history, I view my private life, or I view the life where I said to myself, in Parashat Zachor, I spoke in the yeshiva about the fact that the yeshiva was established by someone who Amalek tried to destroy, and he was able to escape Amalek and establish yeshiva, and the yeshiva now, Baruch Hashem, has thousands of Talmidim and the like. So, this is the Vaya Baniach Hashem Kecha Chamisaviv, Timchet Zech Amalek. And part of Yishvat HaRetzion is also Timchet Zech Amalek. Now, this means I'm talking 2014 about the present. But on Yom HaShoah, I think we tried something totally different. We tried to hear the stories, to go back to the past, to be over there, to the best that we can, to employ our imagination, to hear the details, to read memoirs, to hear stories. I think Yom HaShoah is a day to go to learn symposiums about the motivations or the policies. It's a day simply to weep. Well, Havdil Tisha was like that. The whole year round, we view everything through the prism of the Churban. When Tisha B'Av, you want experience. Tisha B'Av is not a day to analyze, to dissect the Churban and the significance of the Mishkan and the significance of Korban. It's simply to experience the pain, the suffering, the loss. It's to develop empathy with the people in 1944 or in the Churban Bayis Rishon or Bayit Sheni. It's simply to reenact, to re-experience, to reconnect to them as human beings. And this, I think, is what happens on Pesach night. The whole year round, we take Zechus Yas Mitzrayim as a filter. We view our religious life through the idea of Hashem Akecha, Shor Tzlicha Meretz Mitzrayim. And leaving Mitzrayim has religious significance. It's part of the bedrock of the relationship to Am Yisrael and the Kadosh Baruch Hu, for a variety of reasons. And the whole year round, that's what we do. We are Zocher. And the Zkor means to mention, to recollect. Well, let's say this. The Zkor means means to remember, but remember in a deeper sense. Rav means to summon, to put in your, you know, to put in your consciousness. So score means to remember. So fine. So that is done the whole year round. We give meaning to our lives through Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim. So Tzvilin Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and Kriyat Shema mentions it, and the Mitzvah Bechor Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and so on. And the Rabban talks in the Parshas Bo, the person buys a mezuzah, and he puts the mezuzah on his doorstep, and he has Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim, and so on. But Pesach night, we simply want to experience the historical experience. To be there. As we say, it means simply trying to be there, and not just the same as, well, if they would have left, so who knows where I would have ended up. It's simply to say, no, it's not this kind of philosophical reflection. Well, we wouldn't have been here. I wouldn't be here if he wasn't there, and this didn't happen then. It's rather to try to go back to ask yourself, what does it feel like to be a slave in Egypt? What does it feel like to be oppressed? What does it feel like to enter the crack of the whip of the Egyptian, and so on? What does it mean like? What does it mean the excitement of to make the Korban Pesach and to? It means to re-experience. It's Sipur. Sipur means a story. It means to live a story. Like to immerse yourself in a story and reenact it. And Zechira is a whole different concept. So for Zechira means really to create consciousness. This is what seems to me, and I think all the nafkaminas that the Rav quotes from Chaim build our expression of this basic point. If you need the consciousness, so that's enough just to mention it. If you want to experience the event, you have to really go into much greater detail, of course. However, there's an interesting thing, which is the Rambam. Rami Chos Chometz Matzah, Perek Zayin, and also in Sefer Mitzvos. Mitzvos Eseh Shal Torah, the Saper, Benisim, and Felach, and Svev, Otein, B'Mitzrayim, B'Lel, Chamishah, B'Nisan, Sh'ne'emar, Zachor, Atayom, Azeh, Sh'atzatah, Yetzatah, B'Mitzrayim, K'mo Sh'ne'emar, Zachor, Et Yom HaShabbat. U'minayin, Sh'vel, Chamishah, Asar, Tavud, Lomar, B'Gat, Abin, Chabem, Ahulei, Mor. So the Rambam, surprisingly enough, he doesn't quote the pasuk of Vigata Lubincha for the mitzvah itself, or Vayak Yeshachav Bincha Machar Limor Mazot or Matai Lav. The Rambam quotes is the mitzvah Zachor. It's reversed everything I said a moment ago. And so actually, there are those Zacholik in this, and really offer different psukim. But in the Rambam, Zechira is basically the definition of the mitzvah. Parenthetically, I just remark here as the background. The Rambam has apparently based himself upon a Gemara in Pesachim of Kufi Tzayim Mudbet. There was a Gzera Shav over there, Zachar Yom HaShabbat Kadesho, Zachar Yom HaShabbat Kadesho, Zachar Yom HaShabbat. Only Rashi and the Rashbam over there explain what's a Gzera Shava. The Gzera Shava is that you say Zichas Yes Mitzrayim in Kiddush every Shabbos. But the fact that we say every Friday night Zechar Yom HaShabbat Mitzrayim is because that Gemara. Because Rashi understands over there that the Gzera Sheva is not only on Pesach, but also the holy, or not only the seven mitzvah, but you have to integrate the Kiddush, Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim. Now that makes perfect sense, or that's perfectly aligned with what I said a moment ago. Meaning, according to Rashi, the whole year round, you want to remember Zechet Tzitzis Mitzrayim, even on Shabbos, even on Yom Tov, etc. And for this, Zechira is the appropriate verb. The Rambam, he learns the opposite. That who tells you that, how do I know they have to mention or to articulate verbally the mitzvah Zechet Mitzrayim? We learn it from Kiddush. So the same way, Friday night you talk about the Kiddush of the Yom, and you talk about the meaning of the day, so too Pesach night. It has to be done by Peh. As Zachor Yechor Belev, so Tamud Lamar, Zachor Yom HaShabbat, it's Gzera Shavu by Peh. So essentially, according to... According to the Rambam, apparently the Zechira is an essential part of the mitzvah. I don't know if it's only the Zechira. It could be both. But the Rambam really sees Pesach Nai maybe dwelling more upon the Zechira and less the Sipur, or particularly the significance of the event is maybe more important for him than the actual reenactment and the like. So Aleph is pointing this out. I'll get back to this in a moment. Now, I would just point out also that when the Netziv, I said before, really considered the same mitzvah, to a large degree is a function of how he defines the goal of the mitzvah. If the aim of the mitzvah is to tell you that Kadosh Baruch Hu has Hashgacha and the Chidush HaOlam and creation, Hashgacha and the like, then it's predominantly it's a theological, philosophical goal. So then Pesach Nan is really no different. What I described before, the mitzvah says Mitzrayim is not at its focus to arrive at some kind of philosophical understanding or axioms. It's really simply to be in touch with the people, just to experience the people, just to try to reach out and touch them. It's simply to embrace them. It's not theology. It's simply to feel a common bond of family with Bnei Israel. And if that's the case, it's very different than the whole year round. But to put it differently, you can only re-experience history on the right day. You can't re-experience history. But if you're not trying to re-experience history, you're just trying to arrive at theological conclusions. So it's really the same thing. Okay, now, another brief point here, and then we'll move on to some of the... We'll come to the Haggadah. Quite different from the Revelance. I think the Pshat is pretty clear, and I think he was also aware of that, but he did raise this question, so I'll pass it on. Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah L'saper B'Nisim V'Niflot Shel Asu L'Avot B'Lechem Shasar B'Nisan. So it's a question here of punctuation now. Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah L'saper B'Nisim V'Niflot Shel Asu L'Avot B'Mitzrayim Karma B'Lechem Shasar B'Nisan. The mitzvah tells the whole story of Egypt from A to Z. And when is the mitzvah to do this? On the 15th of Nisan, Tavshin Ayin Daled, etc. Or you can read it. Mitzvah Aseh Shel Torah L'saper B'Nisim V'Niflot Shel Asu L'Avot B'Mitzrayim B'Lechem Shasar B'Nisan Kama. Meaning that the mitzvah focuses upon the story of the 15th night of Nisan and not other elements, or to put it differently, not what happens subsequently, which is Kishas Yamsuf. Now, presumably the first one is the Pashut Pshat, but it does raise, and of course the Haggadah also, it focuses upon mainly indeed what happened up to the 15th of Nisan, but the Haggadah does here and there mention Kris Hamsuf as well. At any rate, the reason I raise this is, if you want, simply as a ploy to part of that more basic issue. And this is a crucial issue, I think you have to ask yourself throughout Pesach, throughout the Seder, throughout many other elements of Pesach. But it divides into two groups. One is Votzeiti Vitzalti, which really means the person who redeems us from the persecution. Right? He delivered us. He rescued us from the whip, from hunger, from starvation, from caprice, and whatnot. Votzeiti Vitzalti Etchem Mitachat Tzivot Mitzrayim. That's one. Simply this human suffering. The other element is Bichras Yisrael. V'kachti etchem li la'am. V'etchem al adama. To choose Am Yisrael is a different, is an independent concept. You can have Bichira without suffering. Avraham Avinu was chosen before he suffered. One Sukkot expresses to... On the whole, it expresses B'chad Yisrael, even though that's not such an issue with suffering, because Baruch Hu protected us, but we weren't suffering. You can certainly talk about B'chira independent, like B'chiras HaKohanim, B'chiras HaBechorot, whatever. You can certainly talk about B'chira independent of of persecution. You can talk about persecution independent of Bechira. For instance, later on in history, we were chosen once in Egypt, and now throughout history, you know, there are many instances in which we're persecuted, because Baruch Hu intervened, like, etc., etc. So you always have to ask this question, it's a important question by Purim, right? Kimu v'kiblu, which is, if you want, Bechira reenacting a brit, and you have, of course, and so on and so forth. You have Zechira, which is Chata Brit and Bechiras Yisrael. You have Asiya, which is Vasodot Amimei Mishtav Simcha. Pesach, the same thing. You have to always ask yourself, which of these elements in Pesach are mitzvot, which focus upon the Bechira, which are elements that focus upon that Sala. Just a quick, I don't want to dwell upon this too much, both because there are other things waiting ahead. I spoke about this in the past. Korban Pesach. There is a high probability that the Akrava has more to do with the Bechira and the Brit, and the Achila has more to do with that Sala. Right, you eat it, which is why you eat it Leil Tedvav, when they're ready, delivered and rescued, together with the Matzah and the Marar. In other words, it's a cumin, Zechit Tzias Mitzrayim, to put it differently. While you do the Akrava, you do, and you dal it, which is prior to when they were when they actually rescued them, but it's part of the brit which was set in place before he rescued them. In other words, so Hakrava has more to do with the bechira, Achila has more to do with Hatzala, and I think you can prove this also through at least some of the halachot certainly reflect this idea. The same about matzah, you could ask yourself, there may be 12 lachos in matzah. Matzah, on the one hand, of course, has sedush, like speaking to Kavshal Tein Lachmitz. On the other hand, matzah is also the bread that you use in the Mikdash. It's matzah when you lifnei Hashem. Whatever the reason, I won't really address this now about chametz and matzah, but whatever the reason is, the fact of the matter is that whenever you approach Kadosh Baruch Hu, with some very few and minor exceptions, well, not minus, but some very few exceptions, Korban Todah and Shtei Lechem, you always push Kadosh Baruch Hu through the medium of matzah. So matzah with kedusha. There may be two halachas. There may be two levels of isur chametz: chametz belav and chametz in kares, which ties into this, etc., etc. So I think also we have to ask in many of these passages here in the Haggadah, or in the Mitzvot Hayom, are we addressing at which point? Just to give a final example, right? Even the matzah, you have the matzah you eat in the beginning of the Seder, and you have the Afikoman. Right? One is more such with matzah mara, one is more with the Korban Pesach and Alasova. May also be dependent upon. Okay, now, let's though move a bit further in and take this point. I mentioned a moment ago, I'm trying to illustrate it in one of the passages here in the Haggadah. Okay, so there's a discussion here whether or not the mitzvah to mention at night. Now, presumably, we're talking here about the mitzvah of Zechira, not Sipur. And which makes an interesting question, what's it doing here to begin with? Tzvi discusses this, but of course he's working within the framework of his assumptions. At any rate, first of all, what's the idea of Yom V'Layla? Right? Chachamim Omrim, see here, Bez Mazar says, Kor Mechayech, Mechayech Yom, Kor Mechayech Alilot. I think it's as follows. We have many mitzvahs which are one-time act. Right, you take a lulav. Midagbe nafakbe. You do big hiddur, so you also shake it a little. Shofar. You hear teshet kios, you also say the mitzvah, and so on and so forth. Other mitzvahs are designed to be performed over an extended period of time. Let's take a simple now. This means a basic difference in the role, the function of these mitzvot. I'll give an illustration. The Gemara in Sukkah, the beginning of the fourth parak, and also in Shabbos, in the beginning of Rabbi Damila, if I remember, talks about, has a dilemma whether lulav should be by yom u'balayla, were only by Yom. And hey, look at the psukim, and the conclusion is Sukkah is noheg b'yom b'yom b'layla, and while lulav is only by yom b'layla. Additionally, of course, there was a happening there that lulav should have been 7 days. It might have been 7 days. What's really the point? The point is as follows. Sukkah is a mitzvah to be performed over an extended period of time. It's not an action. Really, sukkah is it accompanies you, you know, it accompanies you throughout the whole week. In other words, you are constant, the idea is a constant mitzvah. Now, whenever you eat, therefore, but the point is, it's not only a question of to do it once in the morning, once in the evening. It really means that sukkah is, it permeates the whole week. The entire week is a mitzvah of sukkah. Whenever, and therefore, it's whenever you go. Now, the lulav is an act. So it has to be done once, and that's it. If the idea of, now, what this means is, really, is that sukkah, and here I get to a point that my father's article, he wrote about this, this idea, some mitzvot are simply, on Yom Tov, you perform the mitzvah. Other mitzvot characterize the whole Yom Tov. Right? It's Chag HaSukkot, not Chag HaLulav. Why? For this reason. Sukkah really, as it permeates the whole chag. It characterizes it, it gives it its nature. So, now, one of the manifestations of this is the time element. Therefore, it's day and night. It simply colors the period with the idea of sukkah. So therefore, it's yom, laila, it's whenever you eat. It's not your kezayit the day in the sukkah. It's eat always in the sukkah, live in the sukkah. Lulav, though, is different. Lulav doesn't characterize the yom tov. Lulav simply something you have to do during the yom tov. So therefore, it's done only the day. Its actions are usually done the day. Secondly, it's only one day. It's not all 7 days. There's a time gap between the lulav and the duration of the festival. It's because it's simply an act and nothing else. Interestingly enough, on the one hand, the chiyuv is only the first kezayis. On the other hand, the big discussion in Rishonim, and or at least like this, Rishonim raised the issue and hint at it, Achronim then discussed in great detail, whether there's a mitzvah to eat matzah all 7 days or not. There may not be a chiyuv, but there is a kiyum to eat matzah all 7 days, according to many opinions. And this is exactly the question. Is matzah simply a one-time, you know, is it a bite, a one-time 5-minute bite and that's it? Or is matzah like sukkah? Does it characterize the whole Yom Tov? And that's why I say Yom Chag HaMatzah says there. Now, this is the question here about Zechitzias Mitzrayim. Zechitzias Mitzrayim is simply a daily mention. You have a checklist of things to mention and to... or Zechitzias Mitzrayim... By the way, same as... Well, I just recommend looking up the Gemara in Pesach and Kuvav about Kiddush also with Bayom, with Ikar Kiddush Bayom, Ikar Kiddush Balayla, also revolves around this question. At any rate, Zichtes Mitzrayim seem to mention something. You have a Mitzvah Samira, or Zichtes Mitzrayim character, as I said before, is it a prism, a filter through which you view life constantly? If it only be the Mitzvah to mention it, you know, to thank the Kiddush Baruch once a day, so then it would only be Bayom. What you're saying is, Zechitzias Mitzrayim should be a consciousness which is constantly with you. It's not something which is simply a one-time activity. It rather is, as I said before, it's a filter which should be constantly in your life. Your life should be always viewed through perspective of Zechitzias Mitzrayim. That's why it's Yimei Chayecha Yamim. Kol Yimei Chayecha means you can part of your person. Simply is some a piece of knowledge that you file away. Okay, that's Ebbe Azariah. But presumably he doesn't think it's a mitzvah Yimot HaMashiach. Anyway, that's certainly what Reb Chaim thought. Reb Chaim thought that according to Ebbe Azariah, there's no mitzvah Yimot HaMashiach. Now it's not so. This, on the one hand, gets us into somewhat murky waters of mitzvot latid lavo, and it's more neither whether mitzvot betot latid lavo or not. But on the other hand, in this case, we can sort of avoid that because there's a pasuk. לא יאמר את חי השם אשר לה תיסומת מרצת יצרן כי בחי השם אשר תיסומת צפון סלילה על those lines it's spoken in Yirmiyahu quote by the Gemara Brachos Daf Tes to explain Rav Ezra Azariah. In other words, Rav Ezra Azariah, what he thinks is that history has shifted. It was the historical event, the march of history has moved on, and what the Mashiach, this time will be relevant. Chachamim disagree. So the Gemara asks over there, Koy Tachan is a Pasuk. The Gemara says, there's Ikar Gula, and there's this Tafel, and there's Ikar Gula, and there's a Gula Tafel, something along those lines. What's going on over here? So I think it's exactly what we spoke about before. Koy Tachachamim, or it's like this. If Zechzes Mitzrayim, its basic point is to celebrate the fact that Baruch Hu rescued us from the suffering and the persecution in Egypt. So then it's conceivable to come and say there's an end of history. Things have changed, you have to update your historical calendar. If you want, history has been transformed. At any rate, you know, we calibrate everything to begin, and the historical story of the past is less interesting than the one of the current or the future. If though you talk about Bichres Yisrael, Bichres Yisrael won't change. Because Bichres Yisrael was done, and it's not, you know, Mashiach will change history, it won't change Bechira. And it seems to be like that, and Bichres Yisrael will not change. You know, the Pesukim talk about, as the Fokh Kalamim Safar Barad Kro Kulam Hashem Hashem, which means that say, the Goyim will appreciate the Kadosh Baruch Hu, they will accept Torah, but nevertheless, the distinction between Jew and Goy will remain. Certainly, the Gemara's beginning of a desert seem to imply that. It is a pasuk in Yeshayahu, which Be'em Ahu Yiyeh Ashur Mitzrayim Yisrael Shlishiyah Bekerev Ha'aretz. That pasuk maybe sounds like the Bechir itself may be transformed, but at the moment I just point, it's pasuk in towards the Perek Tani Yeshayahu. Take a look, if you want to look at the Mefarshim and the pasuk B'nei B'chor Yisrael, if you're interested. At any rate, Bechiras Yisrael presumably will not change. So if you come to the perspective that the Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is really to express your thanksgiving and your appreciation, Kadosh Baruch Hu delivered us from all the suffering, so then Moshe Mashiach will change, it will be a new formula. If though you wanted Bechiras Yisrael, so then it won't change. Lavim Moshe Mashiach means that there's an element, now this may be the primary element, maybe a secondary element, but there's an element of Bechiras Yisrael which is celebrated and appreciated in Zechiat Yitzhak Mitzrayim, and therefore it's mentioned about Mashiach. This brings me to a very interesting passage in the Ramban, which also has contemporary implications. The Ramban explains in the beginning of Parshas HaChodesh that the calendar was changed in the time by Yesheni. And now, that we know, that's of course not from the Ramban. The Ramban explains though the rationale. And of course there's a problem. My Torah says, nevertheless, we no longer talk about Chodesh HaRishon, Chodesh HaShani, Chodesh HaShlishi. Paradoxically, we do talk about the yearly cycle. In other words, years we count. We have numbers for years. But for months, we don't. We have names. Even though the Torah doesn't care so much about the years, it does care, Rav Dan will excuse me, but there is no mitzvah to count the years of Yetzias Mitzrayim. There's a mitzvah to count the months. Baduk. I almost gave a Friday afternoon, excuse me, Shabbos afternoon share in this. The mitzvah is only the months, not the years. Which is why, you know, the whole world is not crazy. Adkan. No, I'm serious though. The mitzvah is only Chodesh Lechem. Never says Hashanah is Lechem Mosh Chodeshim. Shanaz Lechem Mosh Shanim never says that. The only halakhic discussions we find about the Shanim are using Goyish dates. And mostly that in 19th century Hungarian poskim. At any rate, so we don't do the Chodeshim. That is a given. So why not? So now we all know Tanakh already makes this transition, right? And Megillat Esther is pretty nice about it. Megillat Esther has both, right? The Ramban suggests that when they came from above about Eretz Israel, they changed on purpose the months, the names of the months, or the system of the dates, because of the pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Lo yamer et chay Hashem asharat Yisrael Eretz Yisrael. V'tam ha'chodesh hazeh lechem rosh chodeshim shimnu to Yisrael chodesh harishon u'menu yimnu kol ha'chodeshim sheni u'shlishi atashlum ha'shana kidesh ez zikyon b'nes ha'gadol ki b'kolet sh'azkir ha'chodeshim y'anes ha'nizkar v'al kein ein ha'chodeshim shem b'torah. So I said before, it's a trans paradox. Nowadays, the years and the days we count numerically. Only the chodeshim we don't. Alkein, איך חושבים שם בתורה? למה בחודש השלישי? Okay, בחודש השביעי באחד לחודש, etc. וכמו שתהיה זכירה ביום השבת, במנותינו, אחד בשבת, שני בשבת, ככה זכירה בצד מצרים, במנותינו, החודש הראשון, החודש השני, etc. וכבר הזכירו רבותינו, זה העניין, ואמרו, שמות החודשים עלו עמנו מבבל. כי מתחילה לא היה להם שמות אצלנו, והסיבה בזה, כי מתחילה היה מניינם זכר יציאת מצרים, אבל כאשר עלינו מבבל, ונתקיים מה שאמר כתוב, לא יאמר את חי השבת בני ישראל מארץ מצרים, כי אם חי השם השאלה, ושבת בני ישראל מארץ צפון, חז"ל, מכל החודשים, בשש שוקים בארץ בבל, להזכיר, כי שם עמדנו, משם אין לנו השם, כי אלה שמות ניסן, ויהיה זולותיו שמות פרסיים, לכן, מה כתוב? בחודש הראשון הוא חודש ניסן, פלפור הגורל, אוקיי. והנה נזכיר בחודשים הגאולה השני, כאשר עשינו את הנבואה הראשונה. The man says, it was done on purpose. It was by design. We wanted to know, and to, in other words, to commemorate the גאולה השנייה, we switched from חודש הראשון לחודש השני, to ניסן, יער סיוון, etc. So we commemorate the fact that Baruch Hu delivered us from Babel, and brought. Now, of course, the obvious problem is that it's not quite the Gula. We talk about Mashiach and Mitzrayim is one thing. Talk about Bayit Sheni, they trickled back to Israel, and it wasn't quite the Gula Shlema. Why do we change? You know, why is Rabban call Bayit Sheni the Gula when it really it was a very minor kind of Gula? There's two possible interpretations, both of which are interesting, and as I said before, with contemporary significance. One thing is that the Ramban may think that even the Ramban may think that there was potential. They should have realized by chain, if properly done, should have been Gula Shlema. However, even though you have the potential, everything was in place. And the Chazal, of course, criticized them, right? They should have come properly. They didn't. They should have all left Galut, and they stayed most of them in Bavel, and only a handful came to Eretz Israel, and not them. And even those were not all of them, necessarily the most people, Chassim and the like. In other words, there was a historical opportunity, they missed it. Or, to say they missed it, maybe the wrong phrase, but they only partially utilized it. Instead of building this grand geula, if the geula is like a 100-story building, so they built 10, 20 stories, but they never got beyond that. The potential was there. They had all the capabilities and all the abilities. The time was ripe for geula shleima. Therefore, they changed the names in anticipation. Gadol yeh kvod avayit nezach rom nevishon chagai says, and in anticipation of such a sweeping change, and then it sort of petered out. It sort of got lost. So we left with the names. That was basically the Shemot HaChodeshim now, to a certain degree, commemorated lost opportunity. how lamin no kol da dido fake, and you only partially have a very partial gula. You respond partially. That's one way of looking at it. The other one is that maybe the Ramban doesn't, maybe Bayit Sheni wasn't destined to be Mota Mashiach, or very early on they realized that at least, but we changed it into the months nevertheless, to point out that a partial Geula is also important. That if you want to build a 100-story building, you build a 20-story building. 20-story building is still much better than a zero-story building. In other words, there is Eretz was desolate. Eretz was empty. The Rambam describes Eretz Yisrael as after Tzom Gedalia, or after the assassination of Gedalia. Right? The Rambam explains why we do Tzom Gedalia. Nichbeit gachelet Yisrael ha-nisheret. The way the Rambam has it, the original plan or the original reality was something along the lines of Churban Bayis Sheni, that the Mikdash is destroyed, but Jews continue living in Israel. In other words, they'll be able to be a Jewish colony or Jewish settlements in Eretz Israel. The same way after Churban Bayis Sheni, Jews stayed in Eretz Israel, in Yavin, and the Galil, whatever, and without a Mikdash. That was the idea after the Churban Bayis Rishon also. When Gedalia was assassinated, the land was emptied. The final ember died out. The Gemara in Gittin of Pechet says, what's the pasuk there? Mibeimad, Adov HaShemayim, the Du Halachu, it's a pasuk, Miadam Adbeimad, Adov HaShemayim, the Du Halachu, it's a pasuk from the Haftarah of Tisha B'Av. 52 years, nothing except for Israel. It was like a nuclear holocaust wasteland. In the 52 years, nothing. Not even animals wandered. It was so desolate. So they returned. It wasn't the Gula Shlema. It wasn't the Mota Mashiach. It was a huge improvement. There was a vibrant Jewish settlement. There was a Jewish community with a certain amount of autonomy. The Mikdash was rebuilt. In other words, partial achievement is also trans achievement. It's enough to justify changing the names of the months, and it's to commemorate it as a geula. It's enough to qualify as a geula. In other words, atchalta the geula doesn't have to be necessarily only the beginning to the final geula. Atchalta the geula has significance in and of itself, even if it will only remain at that, and eventually. To be 100 years later, another Churban, the partial achievement is also an important achievement. Okay, that's at least some thoughts following the Ramban. Let's move on now to another Avadim Hayino, or really, it's really further on, but it's like Avadim Hayino has the caption. Vayareo Tana Mitzrim, Vayanunu. Vayitnu aleinu avodah kasha. V'ru ta mitzvi koshen emar v'nitchakmalo pen yirbe v'aki t'yirem v'lechlam asaf gmur asonim v'lecham banu v'alam min ha'aretz. V'ya'anunu Okay, one second. Okay, fine. Kosh ma'kisim asher mitzvi anto besiv lo tai v'yem eskipar p'tov v'atam says v'lu aleinu avodah kasha k'ma shenemar v'yavir mitzvi b'nesel v'farech v'yitzak shem okay v'yitzak shem k'lomi ha'atonim v'atavamim v'atachatzeinu. I'm skipping here a bit. And a little more. Vayar et onyeinu, zo pishu derech eretz, v'tam aleinu, ze elu abanim, v'tachzen ze adchak. Okay. All three psukim that Chazal darshan here, all raise one question, which is important if you accept my opening premise. Because if you accept my beginning premise, that we just don't want. We do not only want to understand the theological significance of Yetzias Mitzrayim, like Signon de Ramban and the Netziv, but you want to experience and connect to the historical experience of Avoteinu. What was going on over there? How harsh was the Shibud? With slavery, it's a very broad spectrum. It can exist, you know, from very benevolent, mild slavery, like Rabbi Gamliel and Tevi Avdo. And It could, of course, be on the other side of the spectrum, Chas v'Shalom, a concentration camp, slave labor, a gulag, shades and degrees of slavery. I remember about 15 years ago, they came this movie, Prince of Egypt. I didn't go see it, Bekaron. But anyways, one of the teachers in the school, I was in school there in Cleveland at the time, he wrote, a manual for teachers, you know, how to discuss it with students. So he wrote, you know, this floss ABC. However, then he wrote, but the singing, the music, if, you know, it enhances it, it adds a lot, etc. He asked me to read the thing. I didn't see the movie. I did read the book. I read. So he asked me to comment on. His choveret. So I said to him, you know, strikes me it's a bit strange the music part, because I don't see much music in Egypt. It seems to me life was much more grim. In other words, my perception of Shibud Mitzrayim is not one of. There's music, you know, and dancing and the like. It's rather much more like a concentration camp or a slave labor camp. Which I don't think there's much music there. And I was now it's a question here. If you should say anyway, just to conclude the story. About a few months ago, I mentioned my sister's mother-in-law. She was a year in Auschwitz, and someone invited her to one of these evenings. You know, in Israel, it's very popular, you know, to have music and, you know, Yom HaShoah, to have music and Shirei Neshama, you know, and to be all kinds of zamarim to help you reconnect to the Shoah, you know, and all these all this music, this mood music, so to speak. And one of her children invited her. We got very excited and invited her to come this evening. And she said to him, Shama Lohe Musica. And that's exactly this point. How do you perceive what was going on in Mitzrayim? I would add, there's an associated question, which is not the same, but there is some buffers of relation between the two. What was the motivation of the Shibud? Was it economic, political? Do we take power at face value? Was power sincere? Or was it anti-Semitism? This is a cloak in which to mask his anti-Semitism and the like. I think the psukim have some hints. The midrashim, I think, paint a similar picture necessarily. But Midrashim also, you know, do fill in some of the gaps in this question. By the way, talking about movies, I did go to see this movie they had about slavery this year, and I told my wife that Pesach Hanayah, that should enhance the Seder about this question, you know, that, you know, this kind of romanticized view of slavery, it's even not a non-concentration camp of slavery, and this romanticization of slavery is... let's say the debunking of the romanticization of slavery enables you to appreciate Haggadah much better. How a person lives without hope, or how he doesn't live without hope, really. And Jews in Egypt had much less hope, of course. It may also be that there was certain development over time. A hint, maybe there may be a difference between Shmos Perek Aleph and Shmos Perek Hei. At any rate, try to work within the time frame we have. I'll focus upon the Haggadah and less upon the Pesukim now, though it certainly requires and necessary. Let me just say, I will say one half a sentence about the Pesukim. Perek Aleph, Perek Beit, you can argue. Perek Hei, Vav, when Paro says, Tichbad, Havodah, Nashim, Vali, Shubu, Divei, Sheker, when Paro basically does what the Nazis did in 1944, when he puts into plan an inefficient plan in order to people should suffer more and produce less. In other words, he diverts resources. In other words, if they diverted resources from the military campaign to after the destruction of Jews, Paro has in place a more efficient system. He dismantles it and puts in place a less efficient system. You know, the people should suffer more, which can only indicate anti-Semitism and the desire to increase suffering capriciously. That's Tichbad Avodah Hashem. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu over there gets so upset. Moshe Rabbeinu, he gets all upset over there because there he sees the depth of the anti-Semitism and suffering as a goal in Egyptian policy per se. Okay, now, just 120 seconds to try to assess the Haggadah, etc. Now, ויירת עוניינו את זו פשוט דרך ארץ ואת המלאין ואלו הבנים ואת לחצר זה הדחק. What's being said over here? The puzzle, the passage before it's Nagada talks about tzaka. We didn't see over here. It's a very nice passage. I heard of Mamash almost word for word the same idea from the Rav. The Rav used in Tzitz Agada, but he didn't quite. I don't think he remembered at the time he spoke. He read it independently from looking at the Pesukim. But at any rate, the basic point there is this is not Tefillah. This is not people. I think Redemption Prayer in Talmud Torah in Rav's articles. I think part of this is quoted over there. Anyway, what they both say is this is not Tefillah, which articulate a request. This is a shriek. It's people. It's simply moaning from. It is not even articulated. It's simply because Baruch Hu hears the groans and the moans and Vatal Shavatel Kimin Avodah. They're not saying anything. They're not saying because Baruch Hu save us. They're just simply krechzing under the weight and the burden. They don't have the time or the leisure or the relief to even put into. It didn't express their thoughts. It's simply under the whip. They constantly complain and moan, and this is what the Kadosh Baruch Hu hears. We didn't see later on. He puts it very, very nicely, and the Rebbe as well. But now let's conclude with this. Varaton Yenu Zob Pishu Derech Eretz. What does it mean? It means they don't give birth. This, of course, you have to remind yourself of the Gemara in Sota, which talks about Bischar Hashim Tzadik Kaliyot Nigalu Yisrael. The Gemara describes it as the following, that the men were so broken from the work in the fields and the pyramids and so full of despair. He was to use despair. Gemara in Sota describes that Amram didn't want to give birth. Describes how the men, though, also were broken spirits. And the woman came and restored some gentleness, some emotion, some... in other words, that the men would only wanted to eat robotically, almost like refueling a machine. And then the women came there and were tender and loving and engaged them in romance and gave birth. But there's an even deeper message there, and the Gemara then half a daf later puts into the mouth of Amram and Miriam, which is Amram doesn't want to give birth in such a horrible world, in a world which is so much suffering. He doesn't want to bring children. He doesn't want to bring children to such a world. To put it differently, in a ghetto, you don't have children because who wants to expose children to such a horrible universe, to so much suffering, to such a cruel place? You simply don't give birth in a ghetto. This is Pishut Derech Eretz. They didn't. They were robotic. They could only. They're broken souls. There was no sense of tender love, of romance, of physical pleasure. Secondly, there was no hope whatsoever. It was just the spear with a capital D. There was no ability to... no one wanted children in such a world. And the children... Now, let me just explain what amaleinu means. Amaleinu does not mean hard work. No, in modern Hebrew, amal means hard work. So you have givat amal and tel amal and reshet amal. And of course, bam nuchale geel margol amel. Everything's great. In Tanakh, amal means to work in vain. It's as if it's for nothing. It's even worse than Sisyphus. It's simply, all is for naught. V'achshava l'dat zot amal hi beinai, Tilim says, but the problem of evil in the world. You can't understand the world. It's totally, you can't understand it. Adam l'amal yulad means to work in vain for naught. And that's, of course, Eov. Eov is not a Puritan, talking about the Puritan work ethic. Eov is talking about the meaningless and the futility of life. Amal means work, futile work. And this is what's said over there. Amaleinu al-banim. In this world, there's no children. Amaleinu, it doesn't mean we're just talking about the hard work here. It means that raising a child in Egypt was like raising a child in a concentration camp or in a ghetto. It's all for naught. That's how they felt. V'dlachatzeinu, of course, adchak. It means how simply that. Now, this is a very particular reading. I agree. I think this is what that guy is telling us in these passages, especially about the Amaleinu and the Peshu Derech Eretz. I said before, I suggest, you know, read the Pesuk, read the Midrashim, try to arrive at, if you want, some other, you know, perspectives or some other thought of me. And that's wonderful. It's not malach. It's wonderful. It's not a saraf. It's wonderful. It's not shaliach. What is not so wonderful, it's not ani velo ben adam. Preferably, should have been for human intervention as well. In other words, we don't say ani velo adam because we don't think such a great zechut. Ani velo malach, ani velo saraf, yes. Ani velo adam would have probably been preferable. As we all know, it didn't work out. I wrote about this in a book. You can read the book. Time is up. So thank you very, very much. And it's good to see you here. Even better to see you. Zadah Shemaret Israel. Thank you.